1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll stand when you find your place. Verses number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul wasn't down on the words, just trying to be at the place of enticing man with his wisdom. Verse 2 said, "For I determined not to know anything among you," what? "Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And that's all we need to know. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray heaven might open on our soul right now. Lord, our minds might be captivated and our hearts might be squeezed. Lord, the touch of God might be upon every heart in this building. Lord, I don't know who's saved and who's lost. I don't know who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven. I don't know that that's bound to hell. Lord, I don't know that this morning that has never received you into their heart. But God, you do. And I pray, Father, you'd ring the bells on their heart this morning. Lord, you'd ring their number that they might hear and know without a shadow of a doubt that God is speaking. May this be the hour, the day, Lord, that they give their heart and life to you. Lord, have your own will and way in everything it's done. Loose my tongue. Lord, enlighten mine eyes, and Lord, I pray you'd fix my heart, God, with the abundance of God, that I might speak today as I wish I had when I stand in the judgment. And I'll give you the glory, the praise. Have your own way. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen and amen. All right. Brother, I'll tell you what, we need to know without any doubt whatsoever. I mean, we need, every one of us need to know. And I say this all the time, I repeat it again this morning. We need to know that we know that we know that we're born again. Amen. Now, some of you may have a question mark. Some of you may have an idea that you are. Some may wish you were. Some may hope that you'll find it one of these days. But I tell you, I'm glad that I can report to you by the grace of God that I know without a shadow of a doubt. If I draw my last breath today and this is the last sermon I preach, and never preach another one, thank God, I'll open my eyes over in glory simply because Jesus done something to me, made a brand new creature out of me, and transformed my life. Amen. Some of us have reformed, and some of us have changed a few things in our life and quit doing a few things. But I'll tell you, I'm glad the Lord has transformed me. Brother, we need that transformation of God. I realize I need something. I get up in the morning, find out this body's got problems. Amen. Older I get, the more I stand over in the place of business the other day, and the fellow said, "How you doing?" I said, "So far, so good. Everything seems to be working all right this morning. It's not fast, but it's working." Amen. So I find out I got problems with the body. "Did you know anyhow what kind of body you got?" You said, "I got a pretty good body." You got a sinful body is what you got. The Bible tells us, brother, there's no good thing that dwells in you and me. And this body is sinful. That's why it's dying and that's why it's growing old every day. Not only a sinful body, but I want you to know it's a corruptible body. Amen. That's the reason the Bible said one of these days when he comes back, he's going to make it incorruptible. It's not only a corruptible body, but you've got a mortal body. That means it's going to die. This body is going. Somebody said, "I want to live forever." Get saved then. Amen. That's the only way you can live forever. I see them riding their bicycles and doing all their stuff and running up and down the road with their eyes squinched like they're in pain. Brother, trying to increase another day or two in their life. I got news for you, brother. You're not going to get anything accomplished by that. One of these days, it's going to take a brand new body. When the Lord gives that mortal body and makes it immortality, then you'll live forever. Amen and amen. Well, you know what? I look in the Word of God, and I found that in the Word of God that there were some people that were almost persuaded, and I might have some of you just to thinking about it right now, but it's my job to persuade you that you're lost without God if you're lost, and it's my job to persuade you that you need to get everything right with God if you are saved. Amen. And so I get to thinking about a little old rich ruler came to Jesus one day, and he said, "Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Give everything away, sell everything you got." Amen. And give it to the poor and all that, and he couldn't do it. He almost got in, but did not get in. I read a little bit more in the Word of God and found out a man by the name of old Agrippa. No, Agrippa, he almost got in, but he didn't get in. I read some more about old Felix. And old Felix said at a better time or a more convenient time, brother, he had time after time, but he didn't take it. Amen. And as far as we know, these died without God, went to hell. They were not convinced. Stay. Amen. I got to thinking about why in the world there's so many on their way to hell. How come, brother, things are like they are, that people are on their way to hell? And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Why do we not see many people saved anymore in our churches? I remember as a young boy, people would come in the house of God. Brother, they'd get saved and go back out, brother, and live for God. I want you to know, brother, you don't see that much anymore. Churches are comes to the place of conversions and people getting saved. You don't find people getting saved much anymore. It's one here and one there and one over there. Why is that happening? You said, "Oh, times have changed," but God ain't changed. Amen. The same God in heaven can save today that saved 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Brother, I want you to know He's still in the saving business. He ain't changed His mind about birthing you into the family of God. Something's happened to you and me. That's why we don't have as many births, amen, in the house of the Lord. Somebody said, "Well, why do people go to hell?" I'll give you 4 reasons why people go to hell. Put this in your nose. Here's why. Number one is called pride. Amen. So much pride, they'll not humble themselves. Nobody wants to say, "I'm a sinner." One of the hardest words in the Word of God is this: "I have sinned." Not many in the Word of God have said that, but I had to say it one day. You had to say it one day. When you got saved, I said, "I sinned." I said, "God, forgive me of my sin." Amen. I want you to know this morning that God saves. And brother, He's in the business of saving. But many have got too much pride. Too much pride to bow before God and admit to God, much less the world, and admit to God that they're a sinner. But you have to admit that you're a sinner before God or you'll never get saved. Amen. Number two, not only is it pride, but many won't get saved because of pleasure. Too much pleasure. I could dwell on every one of these for a long time this morning. But pleasure. Some folks like the pleasures of sin. Somebody said, "Sin don't have no pleasure." Don't lie to me. Amen. Sin has pleasure. It's only for a season, but it has pleasure. And that's why so many today are in the house of God. They're out having pleasure. They're wanting pleasure. That's what I want, where I want to go, what I want to do. And brother, pleasure has caused multitudes never to be birthed in the family of God. They're seeking after pleasure. They think that they'll have to give up all that and won't have no fun. Isn't it amazing? Some of you Baptists have been sitting here in the pews for many years and you done got the world to think that you ain't having fun no more. That's the reason they don't want to get saved, because they don't want to live like you without fun. Amen. Amen. You hear me? But I'm having a time of my life. I wouldn't know anything else but living for God. I've lived on both sides of the street. I don't want the other side. Amen. I know what the heartache and the tears are. Amen. Praise God. I don't know where somebody was just trying to lift up my ego or not. But I was talking to somebody the other day, and this lady, she was looking, I don't know. I know her. I've been knowing her for years. And she said, "Brother Dennis, how old are you?" And I told her how old I was, and she said, "Boy, you don't look like that." Said, you look a lot younger." And I don't know where she's trying to inflate my ego, or where she's lying to me, or what. But I got to thinking, I've met some, and they said, I'm 35 or 40. And I look at them, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. If I had to put an age on that, it'd be 60 or 70. Amen. And you've seen, and they've lived in sin and lived in the world, and the world's took its toll. Brother, I know what sin will do, and I don't want that. And I want to tell you, thank God this morning, pleasure's not for me. My pleasure's in the Lord. Praise God. He blesses my soul from the top of my head down to the bottom of my foot. I enjoy just living for God. Somebody said, preacher, you enjoy living for God? Hey, when you got to, you get really where you live for God, you'll enjoy living for God. Amen. Some of you are trying to see how far you can get without living for Him. Amen. Pleasure. Pride. Number three, popularity and prestige. That's another thing keeps men and women from giving their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Popularity. A lot of these folks got too much popularity. Brother, they're got so much prestige. They'll not bow down before God. Let me go on. I ain't got time to stay on these. And then there's the next one is prosperity. You know, prosperity has ruined America. Sure has ruined this nation. We've got everything. Now we come to a place we don't even think we have to call on God for anything. We can do what we want to do. Live our way. Do what we want to. Brother, we are finding that in our day in which we live. Amen and amen. I know I'm telling the truth. But let me give you some things that God has picked out. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians here. Paul said he came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to remind you today that God is doing everything He can to get you on the right direction. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you, gave Himself on the cross of Calvary that you could have life eternal, that you would not have to die and go to hell. He's paid the price for you. You've already been paid for. All you've got to do is cash in on the results. So I want to give you some things that I'll tell you I believe that God has put. First of all, I believe God has put Christians in your presence to live for God, that's going to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to stop here just a minute. Did you know, if, as a child of God in this building, it's your responsibility to God to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life in front of every man, woman, boy, and girl, that you might be able to point them in the direction of Calvary, that they'll be able to call upon Jesus and get saved and not go to hell. Now that's my responsibility. That means I got to watch what I say when I'm out in the public. That means I've got to watch where I go when I get out of the house. Amen. It means also, and this might kind of clip your little wings a little bit, it means I've got to watch what I say even when I'm in the confines of my own home. Somebody said, "Now I'll speak way I want to at house." Amen. I know you will. Amen. But you know that's not a good testimony. Amen. You said, "Well, I say things sometimes I shouldn't say." Get on your knees before God and repent of it before the day's out. God won't listen. If you can't even act right at the house of God, what makes you think you can put on a good show out yonder? Amen. Most of us can't even handle it down at the house when the wife says something out of line. We can't handle it at the house when the husband says something out of line. Amen. We can't even control our... I get to thinking about this a lot. We can't even control our own tempers in our own home. And if we can't do that in our own home, what makes you think you're going to do it out in the public? Amen. Something needs to be crucified about us. Our life. You said, "Well, I tell you right now, I may not say it, but I'll think it." Now you, when you get to where you can't think right... That's not. If you can't think right, you can't walk right. God's got to be on your thought pattern. Amen. You know what we're trying to do? We're going to the closet every morning, getting us out a holy suit, going down to public job with our little holy halo on our head. And we know good and well we're not right with God. So God gives us a consecrated, dedicated life to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. He also gives us preaching. God said He chose through the foolishness of preaching in an earlier chapter here, chose through the foolishness of preaching to save men and women. Not only that, but God has given praying men and women to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and those souls that have prayed for you. God has given Holy Ghost conviction. Thank God for that convicting power. We don't have much of it like we used to have. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Brother, but I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost has got to convict you of your sin. And if you're not convicted of your sin, you'll never get out of it. You can't come to Jesus when you want to. Some folks think, hey, I just live my life in sin. After a while, I'll just flip the little switch and I'll change and I'll walk a new life. You can't do it that way. The Holy Ghost has got to bring you into the family of God. Amen. Brother, the Word of God will bring even providence, the providence of God and things that happen can point you. Amen. A tragedy come up in your life. I've seen people that's had tragedies to happen and brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God took a loved one of theirs and they got right with God because of it. Listen, providence can bring you to the cause of Christ. Now let's just stop a minute and think about something. Why ain't people getting saved all the time? God added to the church daily. God added to the church daily. God added to the church daily. So you should be saved. Did you get that? In case you didn't get it them other times, I'll say it again. God added to the church daily. Why ain't God doing that today? We're not paying the price for it. What's happened? Go down to the church and I'll tell you what's happened. You can't find the presence of God in the average church. Amen. Some of you are sitting there now, so I don't feel nothing either. Amen right now. You probably don't. Some of you don't. Amen. Somebody go to church and get the... That's, I didn't feel a thing. Amen. You had your mind somewhere else. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, preacher, I got news for you. I'm not saved by feeling. I'm saved by faith. That's right. I know some that shout and praise God and cuss like a sailor on Monday too. And they ain't told me nothing. They ain't told me that they're saved. They ain't proved a thing to me. Understand what I'm saying? I know I'm not saved by feeling, but thank God there's a little feeling every once in a while. Somebody said, I just put my faith in Jesus Christ and He saved me. I said, amen, that's exactly what I did. But I woke up the next morning and it felt like somebody had moved in. Amen. And it also felt like something had moved out. And I said, I look around a little bit more and I found out it's the divine presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dwelling in my soul. And amen. Somebody said, I don't believe we know. We won't feel Him. Amen. God Almighty dwell in your heart. You'll know He's there. These people said, well, I just believe these people putting on. If they had the same God dwelling in them as dwelling in me, they'd know better. And somebody said, I go to church all the time, but I don't feel all that. I'm going to say, yeah, and God don't dwell in you like He dwells in me either. God move in and make a difference. Why is there no conversions? Because the presence of God is not felt anymore. Because the power of God's not demonstrated. There used to be a time you could see, brother, the old sinner, while the preacher preached and the power of God fell. Brother, that old sinner got his countenance changed. He walked down the aisle. Matter of fact, a few times he didn't even walk. He run. I've seen him come to the altar before the preacher ever gave the invitation. I've seen a few of them get saved before the preacher ever got through. Amen. Got up a shouting, praising God. Had an old atheist. He said he is an atheist. Sat about the third row back. His wife and children done come to church and they was in there regular. And he had done run me off from his house because he said he didn't believe there was a God. And so one Sunday morning he come and I thought he'd come to whoop me. And I preached, amen, the best I could that morning. And I seen him turn about three or four different colors while I was preaching. Gave the invitation. And he kept holding on to the bench back there, but in a few minutes he come running down the aisle, got in the altar, and I got my Bible and I said, I'm going to win him to the Lord. And I got down there and I couldn't do nothing with him. He is saying, oh God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Oh God, forgive me. And you said, George, what scripture to read him? I didn't read him nothing. Holy Ghost is talking to him. And he is speaking to the Lord. I mean, I didn't even get a word in edgewise between him and the Holy Ghost. And brother, he got right with God. Jumped up in the middle right before the the little table in front like we've got here. And he said, just a few months ago, I run this preacher off. And he said, I told him I didn't believe there's a God. And he said, but there is a God. I found out this morning he just moved in. And he started shouting, reached over, he's a big old fella, and I was skinny at that time. He picked me up and slung me around a little bit. I thought, I hope you don't drop me. Hey, but I want you to know he got in that day. But I've watched the Holy Ghost of God arrest the hearts of men and women. Brother, you know what was happening to the rest of the church? Many of them was praying. We're coming into church now, and we got little activities we're going to do after a while and things that we got on our mind we might do tomorrow and a few things that we're thinking about doing next week, and our mind's not on God. And when our mind's not on God, brother, I'll tell you what, souls are not going to get saved. Amen. Not only that, but people living by sight instead of by faith. The power of God's not demonstrated, and God's purpose is not there. Secondly, there's too much deadness seen in our churches. Sinner walk in, he thinks, hey, you walk into a ball game, and they're all, and they got their hats. I don't know about all that junk. I'm not a ball player. I don't like sports. I'm out of the sports world. Amen. It's just kind of a sport sometimes watching some of the ways people of God act, but anyhow. They'll go into the ball game, and they're all excited. You ever watched them? They come in the ball game, they're all excited. You come into church, you come in like this. What's wrong? And a sinner goes down the house of God, he walks in, he said, what happened? Did I go to the mortuary instead of the church today? Every once in a while you find somebody come to church and they're excited. Every now and then. But I'll tell you right now, I hate that the church makes some folks miserable. They're more excited on the porch and walking up the walkway than they are when they get in the church. They come in and dry up and die. They look like they're 50 on the outside and 150 on the inside. Amen. Frowned up. And what's happened? There's no vision. There's no vitality to them. There's no victory. No wonder souls won't get saved. What happens? Brother, I'll tell you something else. There's too much boldness today in the lives of sinners about their sin. Did you know there was a time that the influence of the people of God, just in the public, around people that are lost, repressed them and kept them from doing things that today they automatically just do it and don't pay no attention to. They don't care to cuss in front of a Christian. They don't care to cuss in front of a woman. Matter of fact, women are as bad as men out in the public with their ungodly tongue. Amen. I mean, everywhere you go, it's filth coming out of the mouths of people. But listen, there was a time that people recognized people that were Christians and they wouldn't speak bad in front of a child of God. Now they're just open with it. Why is that? Why is it? I'll tell you why. Because number one, this world does not put God first. The average Christian today don't even put God first. I went to a restaurant this week and looked like a mother, looked like a grandmother. She's somebody's mother, but at this particular place she was a grandmother because she had a grandson with her. She had taken the grandson to eat. And getting that reason, I even thought this inclination that she had a Christian life, or supposed to be, is because she had on a Christian T-shirt. That don't mean nothing this day. Amen. These women put on them little Christian T-shirts and then wear a pair of short shorts. Isn't that strange? Hear me. You know why we don't give out Christian T-shirts at this church? Because you'll just go wear them like that. Amen. Some of you would. All right. So anyhow, Grandma, she had that Christian shirt on, and she come down and sat down with the food, and the little boy, he had done started eating, and Grandma got that, and she salt and peppered it, and I thought, surely Grandma was going to say, let's pray. And old Grandma just dug in like a hog under an acorn tree. Amen, with a Christian T-shirt. Ain't that right? Listen, you see it all the time. Brother, you'll see it out there all the time. They don't put God first. Neither do they attend the house of God. Brother, some folks that call themselves Christians, they just look for an opportunity or a change that they don't have to go today. They stump their toe on Friday, and surely it's going to be awful. Can't go Sunday. Amen. I've had people to tell me, on Saturday, I'm sick. I can't be there tomorrow. And I say, what makes you think you're going to be sick tomorrow? You might get well. They already made up their mind they're not going. That's why. Amen. Get up on Sunday morning and their shoulders are killing them. Oh, they can't go on Sunday morning. Listen, I tell you what, I've drug in the house of God sometime when I thought maybe they ought to roll me in. I preached in the pulpits a few times, brother, when I wasn't able to preach. But I'll tell you right now, and I'm bragging on me. I'm just saying it's because I love the house of God. I don't want nothing to hinder me from the church. Got up this morning. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be on Saturday night, Wednesday evening, or Sunday afternoon around my house. I mean, boy, everything will fall in the floor on Saturday night. Or Sunday morning. And everything is going fine this morning. We weren't having no problems. Me and my wife don't fuss too much. But every now and then. And everything seemed to be looking all right, going all right. And all of a sudden she said, what are you beating on? I said, I ain't beating on nothing. I thought that's you. What are you beating on? She said, I ain't beating on nothing. Come find out the crows is on my roof. I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know where I got bugs on top. Where they was up there eating or whatever, carried it up there to eat. And I said, listen, the crows even know how to get my dander up a little bit on Sunday. Now I'm going to have to take care of business, run the crows off. One day I had it on the side of my house, and I said, what in the world? Had a woodpecker out there, brother. He's splintering wood. I want you to know, brother, we got the place. We don't have the attention at the house of God that we're of the attendance at the house of God like we ought to. You hear me? There's little joy among the believers at the house of God. Our joy ought to be unspeakable and full of glory. We ought to be excited saints. Most of you are more excited than you leave than you are you getting in here. I worked on a public job for years, and I told him, I said, you know what? The weekends are bad. I said, yeah. They said, why? I said, I wish we worked all the time, just got off on Sunday. And didn't, you know, just get off on Sunday and don't work any other day. I mean, work every day but Sunday. Because I said, I notice you folks, and it's working for me. And I said, I notice you folks, every Monday morning you come dragging in. Like you can't hardly make it another day. You got your lunch pail. Here you're coming in. You're going. And everybody's just dragging along. It's dragging along, and they punch the time clock. And it's 10 o'clock before they ever get any spunk about them at all. You work them on Tuesday, they're a little bit faster. Wednesday, a little bit faster. Come Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, when they're going to punch out. You never seen such wild people, brother. Working all week long, got them so excited. They punched, and one woman went out, and she fell and broke her leg trying to run to the car to see if she'd get out the parking lot first. And I said, they don't come in Monday morning like that. Monday morning they come, Dre. I said, weekends is tough on you. And that's about the way it is at the church house. They come dragging you. Dragging you. Dragging you. They drag in, they drag out, and they keep a dragging on. And life becomes a drag to them. No joy. Why ain't there no joy? Why ain't we got no joy? Because we got too much selfishness. We're too much concerned about our own self. There's too much strife. We fight and fuss with too many folks. We got too much self-glory. We want the glory in everything. Hey, some people wouldn't come to church nowhere unless you pat them on the back every once in a while. You have to kind of beg and plead with them and pat them on the back and be good to them. Amen. You go to church and not enough love for one another. Brother, we ought to greet one another. I mean, in the Lord, we ought to be so excited to get to see each other. This is a family reunion every time we come to church. We just act like we don't even want to shake hands half the time. Don't you bother me. But you'll shake certain ones. You got what's wrong with you? You kind of got a partiality. Amen. Treat everybody alike. Love one another. Amen. There's too much worldliness. That's why sinners are not getting saved. They looked at you, said, "Why, they do the same thing I do on Tuesday. There's the same place I see them." What's happened? The church is conformed to the world. Hadn't been renewed and come out from it. But it's conformed to it. Not as the church conformed to the world, but it's compromised with the world. And it's took on what they believe and followed that. And not only that, but it's got even at the place that most church folks are contented with the world. They wouldn't want to change. They got God in one hand and the world in the other, and they're pulling it in the middle, and they said, "Hey, I got a little bit of God and I got a little bit of the world, and I'm setting the sail now. I'm going." Not really caring about your spiritual life. Yes, sir. You can hang on to the world and you can hang on to God, but you won't have a Christian spiritual life that God will be pleased with that appoint men and women in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason our families won't even listen to us. That's the reason our families won't even listen to us. Amen. And we don't have too much compassion at all. Amen. We ought to have a love for sinners like we never have had. You know what? We don't love sinners like we ought to. We talk about sin. We're against sin. I'm against sin. And we're all against sin. All God's people against sin. The Bible's against sin. God's against sin. Hey, sin's a terrible thing. But we're letting the sinner go to hell. We're bypassing him. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be right there with him. I want to tell you something. I find myself with such a critical spirit sometimes. I have to fight that every day of my life. If you're not careful, you'll get critical of sin and sinners. You'll get critical of it. Oh, yes, we ought to hate it. We ought to despise it. I don't believe a Christian in this building, if you're where you are to be with God, I don't believe there's a Christian in this building that can love sin. You've got to hate it. You've got to hate it with a holy hatred and with a passion. Hate it. Despise it. You just can't stand it. Literally can't stand it. Sin. But don't fight the sinner. Fight the sin. I don't have enough compassion. And of compassion, making a difference now, the book of Jude. God wants to, listen, my job is to try to win sinners. I want to do what I can, and I want this church to be where it needs to be to win sinners. Amen. I want it to be when a sinner comes in the door, from the time he draws his first breath or she draws her first breath inside the door, that they're miserable till they either come to the altar or leave. You said, "You mean you want sinners to come to church to be miserable?" Yes, sir, because the presence of God is there. I don't want to be mad at me, but I want to tell them the truth, and I'm not talking about compromising to keep them on my good side, but I'm saying to you this morning, I believe if a sinner comes to the house of God and the presence of God's in there, he's going to know something. Now the average sinner come to church, sit in, get up and go, and he not even be touched. Don't even bother him. Go right on down the road. Not even stirred or moved. God help us. I want to see sinners saved. I want my life to please God. I want my life to count. I want my life to be right. How about you? Heads bowed. How about you this morning? I want my life to count. I missed the mark. Come short. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Lord, help us. I don't know your heart. I don't know your soul. But let me ask you, is there any possibility in your life that you could be right now a stumbling block to a sinner? if in your life, the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act, the places you go, and the way the world looks at you, if it's got any bearing upon some sinner today that's caused him not to see Jesus, you're going to have his blood or her blood on your soul when you stand before God. I want you to stand. As a child of God this morning, we're like watchmen on the wall. Like watchmen on the wall, we see somebody doing something, we know it's wrong. We're to tell it. We're to warn them. And their blood won't be on our hands if we warn them. They'll either get right or they'll throw it to the side. But either way, their blood won't be on your hands. But if you see a sinner on his way to hell and you don't give him a gospel tract, you don't give him a witness, you don't give him a testimony, you don't warn him, stand before God. You have to give account for that. His blood will be on your hands.